الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir this Saturday, third day of Ramadan, 1439 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Today, insha'Allah ta'ala, as usual, we shall continue from where we stopped. And we're reading Surah Al-Imran. And in Surah Al-Imran, we got up to the 161st verse. We read and treated the 163rd verse yesterday. And that is the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَنْ يَغُلَّ or وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَنْ يُغَلَّ. And then Allah said what after that? No, the same ayah. وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يأتي بما غل يوم القيامة, isn't it? ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. We did not take this last part of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever embezzles, whether you steal from the war booty or you steal whatever, you take whatever belongs to the people, whether they gave it to you in trust or you are holding a position of trust and you use that to embezzle money, you all fall under this ghulul, because we treated that yesterday and saw the ahadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam in which he warned seriously and he got angry over people who were engaging in this act. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever cheats in this form, then on the day of resurrection, he or she shall pay whatever it was that the person should change the ummah with. If you embezzled, if you siphoned, if you stole, whatever it was you did, as long as you took what did not belong to you, using the position of trust, on the day of resurrection, you will pay back. There's a difference between a thief who steals something that belongs to another person when that person did not put you in charge. There's a difference between that and somebody who had something put in his care, that people trusted him and made him whether a financial secretary or they made him the accountant or they made him the cashier or whatever. If he uses that position to commit any fraud and make money through that, this is ghulul. Sirqa is pure theft. That the person did not even know you, or even if he knew you, he never put you in trust. He never put the thing under your trust. So you broke a bound, maybe you broke his door, or you jumped the fence, and got to the property, took it, and left that area in which the thing was shielded. So if you jump to the fence again, with that thing that you stole, trying to escape, you have left the premises where the thing was kept, and you were caught, you are a thief. Your hand will be chopped off, if the thing has gotten up to rub'u dinar, if the thing is worth up to rub'u dinar, your hand will be chopped off. But if you were a trustee, if the thing was under your care, maybe you are an accountant, or you are a governor, or you are a counselor, or whatever, you used your position and you took money that did not belong to you, you are not called a thief in that case. Even in civil law, they don't call that theft. What do they call that? Yeah? What do they call that? Huh? Breach of trust. They even add criminal breach of trust. As if there is one that is not criminal. Huh? In their law, I'm sure there is one that is not criminal. Maybe there's one that is civil. I don't know. But they call it criminal breach of trust. It's different from theft. In Islam, the ruling is the same. This person is al-Amin. He is a trusted person. The thing was kept under his care. The judgment on him cannot be the same as that of somebody who did not have that thing under his care. So he will not be treated as a thief. But he will return whatever it was he stole. And he can be imprisoned. The judge has a right to say, I don't want any other human being to see him throughout his life. So you put him in jail and let him cool off there until he dies. The judge can decide to do that because he is a mischief maker. But you can't chop off his hand, he's not a thief. Or the judge could just decide, okay, we take back what he stole, we punish him appropriately, and then we let him go. But he should never be allowed to be put under any trust again. If it's money, bye-bye. Nobody will give him any money to keep again. The government should not, and individuals also should not. Unless he has gotten to such a level that the state is now comfortable with him and they can now guarantee that yes, he's fit again to be trusted. If not, he's kept as somebody that can never be trusted. So it's surprising when somebody served in the civil service, stole, and was chased out of civil service. He was dismissed. He now comes and wins election as a senator. Yeah. Somebody was in prison, accused of murder. He was a murder suspect. He was in custody, in detention as a result of that. He was remanded. And while there, he won the Senate election. And he served as a senator of the Federal Republic. Can you imagine all of these things? And this kind of thing is happening every day. There are boys that have been convicted that have gone to prison for theft. They are now soldiers. Some of them are now in the civil defense. Some of them are police. Of all places, they are in the police. They are also armed robbers or thieves. And they are now uniformed. So they now have federal government backing to rob. And they are there. You know, if you put pressure on us now, we can tell you that this person, this number, Mr. So-so-so, he was convicted. He's a thief only. Yeah? And then he's now in the police. This kind of thing should not be happening. Anyway, may Allah forgive us. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ. And after this, every soul shall be paid back exactly in the coins, in their own coins. So exactly as you sin, that's how Allah will punish you. If it's a good deed, عَمَلُ بَنِي آدَمْ يُضَعَفْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it. if it's a good deed. He can give you 10 times the reward. Sometimes he can give you up to 700 times the reward for one good deed. But if it's a sin, it is exactly as you sinned. Not even one extra will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you. So we are supposed to emulate Allah in this. When they say Allah is Ar-Rahman, Rasul says, Irhamu man fil ardi, yirhamkum man fil sama. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, if somebody slaps you, the best thing to do is to forgive the person. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if you forgive and reconcile with the person and do a good deed of forgiving the person and even returning good in place of the evil that he did to you, you return good, you replace it with good. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. If you do that to him, it's better. But then جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. But then you can decide to go the extra mile. وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his reward. His reward is on Allah. Allah will reward him for forgiving. So that's how we should be. If somebody slapped you, you forgive him. If you can't forgive, you slap back exactly as he slapped you. If he pinched you, you pinch him too, and you leave it at that. That's why it is better to forgive, because you are hardly able to revenge exactly as was done to you. You are hardly able to do that. If you want to revenge, you do 10 times more than the person did. You know, when somebody slapped you and you want to slap back, do you slap once also? You know, you hardly slap once. When you want to slap, you slap him 10 times. And he slapped you only once. There's a video clip that was viral some time ago. I think people have gotten tired of that now. They were showing somebody, a man, who was mocking some women. So from behind them, he was pulling their hair. And when they turn and see that it's a man, they'll just leave him because they can't beat him. So he didn't know that there was a woman that was like a man, stronger than many, many men. No, maybe she was one of these women into bodybuilding. Very strong looking woman. He didn't know because she was backing him. He just saw a woman, so he pulled her hair. When she turned and saw him and gave him one slap, they took him to hospital. What he did was he pulled her hair. Instead of her to also pull his hair, she slapped him. And when she slapped him, he fainted. They now rushed him to the hospital. So when you do that, you have transgressed. You have transgressed. فَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوْقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. Then what did he say next? That you emulate the sunnah? Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. So Allah says, okay, it's not functioning well. Which one is this? Your? This one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ كَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, أَفَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. Is it possible, can they be compared? He who seeks the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, can he be compared to he who has earned Allah's wrath and anger, وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ, and his place of abode should be Jahannam? Can these two be compared? They cannot be compared. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ, and woe unto that place of abode, that will be his place of abode. That is, woe unto him, as the hellfire has become his place of abode. هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. People are of different categories before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all that they do. Allah says, أَفَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. Can we compare that person, فَتَرَكَ الْغُلُولَ, that person who sought Allah's mercy, that person who sought Allah's pleasure, and as a result of that, he desisted from embezzling public funds. Can that one be the same as that person who has earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by embezzling public funds? They cannot be the same. If you look now at some public servants, you compare one to another, you will see the difference between them long after they have left the civil service. They can never be the same. The history that they left behind is very different. This one left a history that is ugly. Even after their death, they cannot be compared. If you mention one, people will pray for him. If you mention another, people will curse him, pray against him, because of the lives they lived. Even if you do not know Allah, once you live well on this earth, people will know. Even people who do not know Allah, they know the difference between good and evil. And if you embezzle, if your money was embezzled, wallahi, there can hardly be any barakah, any blessing in it. Look at it. The children that you train, they can hardly be pious. If you train them with haram, they can hardly be pious. Just look at it. Look at the children of most big men in our society today, because most of them are thieves, aren't they? Most public servants who lie in this country, even the messengers, those ones that are sitting outside the office and they send them on errands. You send him with 5,000 naira, he will steal 1,000 out of it. Even the person that is washing cars for a living, he will still want to cheat you. you leave a car charger in your car. If he sees that you are the vigilant type, he will change it. If you are not too vigilant, he will just remove your charger and that is all. He has gone with it. You take your car to a repairer, he will steal your, what do you call that thing? Wheel spanner. He will steal it. He will steal your jack. Even this gum, if he sees it in your car, he will take it away. Or he will use it. There was a day I took my car to a repairer, and I had fuel in one small bottle that is not up to 1 liter. He could not leave that. He used it. You can't put anything in trust, in anybody's trust in this country. The person will abuse that trust. Anything at all. Just petrol, less than 1 liter. He stole it. He used it. And when I asked for my, in the first place, he didn't want to give it to me. I forgot. So as I was moving later, I remembered. I said they should go and get my petrol for me, that I didn't see it in my car. It's not as if I gave it to him. I just left it in my car. He stole it. And he doesn't see it as theft. He, as far as he's concerned, is just one of those things. After all, now where you walk, you go chop. That's what we say. So the way we are, that's how we get leaders. That's how our leaders are. So when I read you on Facebook insulting your leaders and saying terrible things about them, I just look at you and say, oh, you are wasting your time. Nothing you say will take any effect because you are the same. You are the same. There's no difference between you. Maybe I've told you this story. There was an armed robber who stopped people when all this e-banking and the rest was not there. So every time, if you were going anywhere to buy things, the market people, you go with cash. So they were going with sacks, money in sack. You know, a whole sack that will take 100 mudus of grain. You fill it with money. And an armed robber sees that kind of thing. So they stopped the car. They knew the people that were in that car. They were big market people whose names were known. And they made the mistake of entering the same car. So these armed robbers, they just stopped. They stopped the car. And when they saw those people, the leader was very happy. Maybe he knew them, but they did not know him. So he said, "These people, I will try you today." He said, "What I want now?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Any of you that knows there is no haram in his money, you should come to this side." Tifo. And they were just looking at each other like that, looking at it. Only one person went to that place. And he looked at him. He said, "You mean you have not taken any haram in your life?" He said, "Wallahi, this is my money. Even debt, I'm not indebted to anybody. It's all my money. There's nobody's money here. I've never embezzled anything. I've never cheated anybody. This is my halal." He said, "You are sure?" He said, "Yes, I'm sure." He said, "Okay, in that case, I will not touch your money." I will not touch your money. If we touch your money, most of the time we'll go and be arguing and police will catch us. Or they will even kill ourselves while arguing. So your money is not useful to us. Keep your money. So he now turned to the others. He said, "As for you," he said, "it has been your turn all these days. Now it is our turn. So this one is our own because you and I were the same." He was telling them that, say, "You and I were the same, and same thing. You are taking haram, I'm taking haram." So so he said, "Bring me that our money." "Yes, your money is haram. The one that they earn is also haram. So this one in your care now is our money. Bring it." They took their own. Say, "But you go with your money. Your money is wahala for us." And that's how that person went with his money. Even armed robber knows this. That's how it is. This afternoon, a teacher and I were talking. He teaches in a private school. And he was complaining that all that they do to train these children, when they come, they are not able to abide by what they say. And they wonder what it is. I say, it is thieves that bring children to your school. Most of them are thieves. They are accountants, they are cashiers, they are this, they are that, they are commissioners, and so on and so forth. Most of them, the money that they have is embezzled. How much is their salary? That you take one child out of your 10 children, you take one child to a school in which you pay 500,000 naira per term. Which public servant will be able to do that in Nigeria? I beg, help me. You have 10 children. One of them, you are spending 500,000 on one per term. Tell me, please, public servants, how many people can afford that with their salaries? Wallahi, not even professors can. Even professors, unless they do business. If it's just their earnings, I don't think they can. Or can they? You are not a professor, you should answer. Even though one governor, may Allah have mercy on him, it was said that he said it's more difficult to become a counselor than to become a professor. Than to become a professor. Is that true? We don't blame him, because all they know is money. Once you have money, you are important. If not, how can you compare counselor to professor? Counselor. Subhanallah. It is the way our country is. So you find these cashiers, some of them are on grade level 6. They are not even up to 7. Some of them only have an ordinary diploma. So they are on level 6. It's those of them who have had some experience that are on level 7. And how much is that? How much is their salary? But they contribute 1 million every month. I know a cashier. If you ask me now, I'll tell you his name. I know a cashier like that. I can point at him now. I can call his name, his full name and his ministry. 1 million naira every month that they are contributing. You know, we help this situation when we conceal their sins. We help the situation. We should expose them. If you know a person like that, expose him so that another person will not do it. If you know that somebody is earning his money like that, he gives you money, you refuse, you reject it, and let the whole world know that you rejected so-so person's money. When Chen Chengi was transporting beer from the brewery and all that and selling and making money, he sent his zakah to Sheikh Abu Bakr Gumi. He rejected it. He said, who did you say send this zakah? They say, Alhaji so-and-so. He said, is he not the one that sells beer? They said, yes. He said, no, we don't accept that kind of money. And the man was shocked. You don't accept my money for what? Because you sell beer, you earn your money through haram, and Allah does not want it. Inna Allah ta'ala tayyib, wa la yakbalu illa tayyiba. But I've been sending this same money to Sheikh this, and to Sheikh that, and to Wali this, and they have never rejected it, and you are rejecting it. So who out of you is lying now? Could it be they or you? He said, you go and find out. So alhamdulillah, through that, he embraced the sunnah and he abandoned his old ways. He said, now what happens to the money? He was even ready to forfeit all the money. The man said, no. Since you were selling this thinking it was right, the money is yours. But don't sell it again. Change line. And from then he changed line. He now established the Chen Chengi airline. He went into legitimate business. And he still had money till he died. It didn't make him poor that he left that haram business. So you don't treat them with velvet glove. That is our problem. You hardly hear that any alim insulted any such a person in public. You only insult leaders, you insult this and that. But you see a criminal who is bankrolling everything you do. He's the one that gives you salary. He's the one that gives you this. You are even staying in his house. And you'll be praising that one. That is the problem with the corruption in this country. And all of us have become part of it. So their children, they are trying now. They earn their money through haram. They are trying to take their children to Islamic schools so that the children will grow up as good people. But it's not possible. With all the training that their teachers are giving the children are still corrupt. Why? Why? Anna yustajabu la. Huh? How is it possible that his dua should be accepted? When? Mat'amuhu haram. Wa mashrabuhu haram. Huh? And then finally, wa ghudhiya bil haram. That child was raised with haram. Most of the time it's not possible for them to follow the way of the halal. So the thing affects the whole of the society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Wala is a strong fitna. And I wish that this fight against corruption were true. I wish that it were sincere. Unfortunately, it is not. There is somebody now who is against this government. And they are saying that they have heard that he wants to leave the APC. He should try it and see. If he leaves the APC, we have some records. We will open them. And his nyan should be exposed. He will be in jail until we finish our tenure. Let him try it and leave APC. So if he stays within the APC, he's a saint. And nobody will touch him. All these 3 years that he has been with them, they knew his record, but they never talked about it. They were always praising him because he was in the ruling party. If he dares leave the ruling party, you will hear where. What kind of fight against corruption is this one? How do you fight corruption like that? You are also the corruption yourself. You should be fought. There are criminals everywhere. And they are hidden. Nobody is doing anything to expose them. Because they are in line. They are doing what they want. So nobody talks about their own. Is this the kind of justice that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam taught us? He told Fatima radiallahu anha. He said, ask me for whatever you want. For wallahi, if you steal, I will not be there to defend you. If any of my family, member of my family steals, his hand will be chopped off. Nobody should say because he's in the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You commit shirk, you'll be in Jahannam forever. La amruka mal insanu illa ibnu dinihi. فلا تترك التقوى اتكالا على النسب فقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارسا وقد حط بالشرك النسيب أبي أبو لهب. أبو لهب was the paternal uncle of رسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. He is in hell forever. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب, because he did not follow the path of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's how it should be. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I don't want anybody arrested here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these two cannot be compared. That person who tried to live honestly, he cannot be compared to that person who has fallen into these corrupt practices. وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمُ, and he shall go to Jahannam as a result of that. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ, and woe unto Jahannam as his place of return. Allah says, هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, يعني ذُو دَرَجَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Those ones, مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ, هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They have ranks, lofty ranks before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them. Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما says, يعني مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ مختلف المنازل عند الله. Those ones who stayed off corrupt practices, those ones who sought the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their ranks are different and they conflict with those of the other ones who sought only the dunya. فمن فلمن اتبع رضوان الله الثواب العظيم. For that person who sought the pleasure of Allah, he has a big reward. وَلِمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And for that person who sought the wrath and got it of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for them shall be the painful torment. والله بصير بما يعملون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all that they do. And then Allah says,
لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is verse 164. Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered His mercies and blessings عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, on the faithful, on the pious, the mu'minun, the believers. Is ba'atha fihim rasulan, by sending from amongst them what? Rasulan, a messenger, min anfusihim, from their own souls. What did he say next? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, and he recites unto them the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa yuzakkihim, and he purifies them with those ayat. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, and he teaches them the book, that is Al-Qur'an. وَالْحِكْمَةَ, that is As-Sunnah. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And verily those people, before the coming of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, were in a manifest loss. They were in a manifest state of loss before Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to them. Now, the sending of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is a blessing unto mankind. You know, there are many verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained this. For instance, Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And then in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy to mankind. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَسُولًا يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مُبَيِّنَاتِ لِيُخْرِجَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. This is Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in very many verses that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to us as a mercy. One of the indications that he was sent as a mercy is that he met mankind in a state of loss. One big state of loss that people can get into is not knowing Allah. Not knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest calamity that can ever befall mankind. You know, like you say today, you send somebody, I don't know if it still happens today, you send somebody who finished primary 7, you send him to a village, and then you say he is going to fight illiteracy. You say he is going to do yaqi, the jahilchi. And the jahilay that you are sending him to are huffaz al-Qur'an. They have memorized the Quran. They can write the Quran without looking at any other copy. And those are the illiterates that this semi-illiterate is going to make literate. See, he's going to fight their illiteracy. That is because he does not know that he is the one that needs help. As far as he is concerned, anybody who cannot read ABCD is an illiterate. And that's the person whose illiteracy must be fought. They don't know that the Chinese people cannot read ABCD. The Chinese who are making these phones that even America and Britain and Germany are now buying. Chinese products are bought all over the world now. It is our people that when they go there, they say, okay, this one is so standard. Okay, reduce the standard. This cable now is copper, isn't it? It's very expensive. Okay, we are going to use 10 meters of copper in this. So use 1 meter of copper at the end. Use another 10 meters at this, 1 meter at this end. And eight, use, what is the other one? You use aluminium in the middle. So aluminium will be 8 meters. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know. That's why you are laughing. Maybe you have used that one too. That is our problem. You know, you say, okay, put 8 meters in the middle, put 1 meter there, put 1 meter here, and bring it. And then you say, now original. It's all copper. You buy it thinking it is copper, miskin. You use it small time, it's burnt. Say, but it's copper wire that I bought, original. Even I spent 57,000 on it. They just got you. You see, how can people like us ever get good leaders? It's not possible. You must get people who will punish you and pay you back in your coins, wallahi. As long as you are like this, you always get people who are the same with you. You can never get better people. When you get one person and you make him a god, you think that one can save you. Can't do anything. So Allah will just try that one. Say, okay, be managing your health. Just take care of your health first. So that if you thought you could do what only I can do, just manage your health first. Let's see how far you can go. And even that one becomes a problem for you. You want to talk, you are always, is this the one that will save you? This one that cannot even save himself. Because you left the tree branch and you held onto the leaf. You will fall and break in pieces. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Today is hot, isn't it? Huh? No, and the weather is actually hot today. So, my brothers and sisters, there is no way Allah will change the ways of a people unless they change their own ways. This is Ramadan. It's a great opportunity for us to change. You don't look for the change from anybody. Just change yourself. Just change. Change your ways. Hold on to the path. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنِّي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ Just turn unto Allah. Run to Him. Seek His forgiveness. And try as much as possible. Strive to please Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich you from where you never thought. Don't think that you have to cut corners to make money. Abdul Rahman bin Auf did not have to steal to make money. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Uthman bin Affan, they did not steal anybody's money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched them because they had decided to give their lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, where were we? Huh? لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم from amongst us. مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ قِيلَ أَرَادَ بِهِ الْعَرَبِ لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ حَيٌّ مِّنْ أَحْيَاءِ الْعَرَبِ إلا ولهم فيهم نسب إلا بني ثعلبة. So some ulama say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Allah has been merciful unto the mu'minin when by sending them his prophet, they said he is talking about the Arabs, that he sent them from amongst themselves, because he said from amongst themselves, huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum, minhum, right? Here he says min anfusihim, is it? لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم. In the other one, منهم. So they say it is the Arabs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. The mu'minun from amongst the Arabs, Allah has been merciful unto them. Should it stop there? It's not only them, but they were the ones that were living at the time. So it's first them, and secondly it's any Muslim. Any person who accepts the message of Islam, this ayah is also referring to him. Because Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is rahmatan lil alameen. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. So now this rahmah also extends to us. That Allah has been merciful unto us. Alhamdulillahi الذي هدانا لهذا. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. We wouldn't have been guided if Allah had not guided us. So this is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank him for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this. So some ulama say these are the Arabs that Allah is talking about, because of course, like we read in Surah Al-Jum'ah, said huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum. And then in another ayah, he says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. So some people said, what Allah is talking about here is not just the Arabs. He is talking about people who have embraced him, that he is part of them because of iman, bil iman, min anfusihim, ay bil iman. Allah, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, is from us because he is a Muslim like us. So it is the iman that has made him part of us. وَالشَّفَقَةَ لَا بِالنَّسَبِ. They said it doesn't have to do with relationship. So he's not talking about those who were the same blood with him. He's talking about those who have embraced his teachings. And that is because Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And then in another chapter, Surah in another chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. So this cannot be just the Arabs. So in short, it refers to the Arabs who believed in him, and it also refers to other people who were non-Arabs who also believed in him. You know, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said that the people that will be very close to him on the day of resurrection, the people that Allah shall have mercy on, that are some of the greatest people of this ummah, are not necessarily the ones that saw him. There will be those who did not see him, who did not even understand his language, but then they believed in him and they were ready to die for him. Those ones will be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we didn't see him, but we believe. Those who saw him had some reason, some human reason to believe in him. Because some just looked at him. His sweat was perfume. If he was passing behind your house, that day you will not buy perfume. The air from him goes into your house, it's fragrance everywhere. So you don't even need a perfume. That's how he was. His sweat alone was perfume. His urine was so pure that people drank it and did not know it was urine. It had no impurities in it, and it was not acidic. Can you take the urine of any human being now? Yeah. It's impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him so. So if anybody saw him and disbelieved him, that person must be blind. Because you can see clearly that this person is not like you. So there were some evidences. And they saw his mercy, they saw his compassion, they saw his handsomeness, they saw the light that traveled with him. Each time he was walking, somebody came out one day and said, I want to see today the handsomeness of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. He said he came out when it was Badr, when the moon was at its brightest, at its full, and the Rasul was outside preaching to his companions. So he looked at the messenger, and then he looked at the moon. And then he looked at the messenger, and then he looked at the moon. He kept looking like that. Said, I want to know which one is brighter. Said he was looking, at first he was confused. Which one is actually responsible for the light we're seeing here? Is it the Prophet or the moon? And then wallahi, finally he said, wallahi, the Prophet was brighter than the moon. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those Sahaba, they had a reason. Only blind people did not embrace his teachings. But we just hear, we read, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Wallahi, we have every reason to think that inshallah, when I leave you now, I'm dying and I'm going to Al-Jannah. You follow me later. We have almost every reason to have that assurance, yet we're afraid. Huh? Yet we're afraid of death. Huh? We almost have every reason. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qad manna alayna. We are grateful to Allah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Inshallah we'll stop here because we have run out of time. Tomorrow we shall continue from where we stopped. We stopped at what ayah today? 164. So inshallah we'll conclude it tomorrow and then we move to 165. Inshallah. Any questions? No. This one says, if a student or parent of a student gives the lecturer a gift or an amount of money willingly, without any attachment, can this one be regarded as usury? If the situation also happens in a private secondary school or primary school, is it also usury? Wallahi, it looks like corruption. It looks like a bribe because he's already being paid for it. It looks like it. I've not said it is. Huh? Because wallahi, before you sent this question, I was thinking of giving my daughter's teacher a gift, but now I'm thinking against it again. Because then it did not occur to me that it might be so. You see, when we preach, we are also preaching to ourselves. When you ask me questions, you are teaching me. Wallahi, because sometimes some things do not occur to us until somebody will ask it as a question. And you say, this person has also taught me something. And you do not know that you are my teachers. Just by asking your questions. May Allah forgive us. This is too long. Is it one question or just one question? Swan says, what is the Islamic ruling on an animal that has stolen a what? An animal or criminal that has stolen a motorcycle and has been caught by the people of a community and they beat him to death, after which the criminal has stopped the owner of the bike due to an accident that occurred, which resulted in his death. I don't understand this question again. Towards the end, I didn't understand what the person wanted to say. But in the beginning, if what I understood from the question, from the early part of the question, is that somebody stole, people caught him, and they beat him to death. If they are caught, all of them will be killed. All of them. Anybody who partook in it. You round them up, you kill them. All of them. If they beat him and killed him, you also beat them and kill them. And you make it public so that people will not emulate them next time. This mob action is wrong. It's wrong. It's not right for anybody to take the law into their hands. So if you catch such people, if the authorities should catch such people, what they should do is kill all of them. But then that person that they killed, it depends on what he did. Even if his crime was such that he deserved to be killed, the authorities should sentence him to death, not you. Because you are not a lawyer, you are not a judge. You are not empowered to do that. And the lives of human beings are not in your hands. So you don't have a right to decide that what this person does deserves a death penalty, so you kill him. Even if he deserves the penalty, take him to the authorities. Let the court decide. If the court does not punish him appropriately, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't take the law into your hands. This is how far I understand the question. The other part, I don't understand what he's trying to say. This one says, what is the sabab al-nuzul of Surah At-Tawbah without saying basmala? Why? It's not sabab al-nuzul now. It's why do we recite Surah At-Tawbah without basmala? Because it is not written in the Mus'haf. Because the Mus'haf did not come with basmala before Surah At-Tawbah. So we don't recite it. Simple. We don't have any reason apart from that. The way it came to us, we accept it that way. Huh? Because in the Mus'haf there is no ijtihad. That's why, for instance, in ordinary Arabic, if you want to write Salah, how do you write? Sad with what? Lam al-Alif, and then At-Ta'ul Marbuta. And that is Salatun. But in the Mus'haf, we don't write it like that. How do you write it? Sad, Lam, Waw, and At-Ta'ul Marbuta. Because the Mus'haf came with it like that, we write it like that. So even writing a verse of the Quran, you have to know. You have to know it, if not, you'll be goofy. If you write it the way you write ordinary Arabic, you're committing a sin. Because that's not how it came to you. So we, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to us, naql is better than aql. If it's the Sharia, it's what is transmitted to you is better than what your brain tells you. Huh? So you just receive what comes in riwayah and leave what your brain tells you. Because shaitan can enter this your brain. Shaitan cannot enter the Mus'haf. So hold on to the Mus'haf and throw away what your personal thoughts are. As long as they conflict with the Quran. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. This one says, when someone misses Isha and he met people praying Taraweeh, what is he going to do? He will join them. If he is lucky that they combine four raka'at in one sitting, fine, you have got your Isha complete. So when they say Salam, you also say Salam, and then you rise and follow them in the other raka'at of the Salah. If, however, the Imam was saying two and terminating, if he says two and terminates, you rise, and then you say the other two, and then you terminate yours. This one says, can someone do nafila immediately after Jumu'ah prayer? If you want to say nafila after Jumu'ah prayer, go to your home. Okay? Go to your home and say it. It's permissible to say nafila after Jumu'ah prayer. It's not that it's not permissible. Is it permissible for an unmarried female to perform artificial insemination? If she does not receive the sperm of other than her husband, it is permissible. If it's going to be put in a test tube, for instance, and it's her husband's sperm, probably because her womb cannot take it or something, as long as it's her husband's sperm, it's permissible. But if it will mean combining somebody else's sperm with hers, then it is haram. Or is it that I did not understand the question? Or unmarried. Who will she do it with? Her father? Why is an unmarried person doing artificial insemination? Why? If she wants a child, she should marry now. Or why else will she do artificial insemination? Is there any other reason? Any reason that I do not know? Why will somebody stay unmarried and want to have children? If the person is not a Muslim, then I don't know. Because we are not the same religion, so I don't know what is good for her. But if it's a Muslima, why will a Muslima want to have a child without marrying? Why? It's not permissible. This one says, is it prohibited to do naming ceremony for a child born out of wedlock? For every child that is born to Muslims, it is compulsory that you name the child. You do the aqiqah of the child. You slaughter a ram if it's a female. If it's male, you slaughter two rams. It is compulsory that you do that. So you have no choice. Whether the child was born illegitimately or not, whoever is responsible for the child must do it. The mother must do it if she can afford. Since the child has no father Islamically, in the Sharia, the child has no father. So there is nobody on whom that is binding except the mother. Naam. This one says, may Allah give me and my family al-Jannah al-Firdaus. Ameen, and you too. What is the ruling on calling someone ghawsi in Islam? It is shirk. It is shirk to call somebody ghawsi. Because it is from ghayth. Allahumma anzil alayna al-ghayth. Or Allahumma aghithna. If it's in that connection, or the way they call him, the person that they call Gawthu, in which case they make him the provider of rain and all provisions, all wealth, all children, he is the provider. He is the controller of the heavens and the earth. They give him position that is only occupied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a shirkul akbar. It is big shirk to call somebody that. It's haram. Why? Why did Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam refer to himself as the first of the believers? Wa ana awwalul mu'minin. Because he is the first to apply everything that Allah commanded them. Every prophet that was brought would tell his people that what? What does he tell his people? I have not come to do the exact opposite of what I command you. How is it put in the Quran? Wama uridu an ukhalifakum. Ilama anhaakum anhu. So if I come and tell you this thing is haram, I will not do the opposite of that. So I will be the first to practice it. You see it and emulate me. That is the meaning of Ana Awwalul Muslimin. Whatever I come to you with, I'm the first to practice it. So you will see it from me and then emulate me. You understand? It doesn't mean that he was the first person to embrace Islam. Huh? Good. So the other one is another question, so we answer it some other time. Inshallah. This one says, what is the best time to observe Salatul Maghrib currently in Mina? I don't live in Mina, so I don't know. And I do not perform Maghrib in Mina, so I don't know. So what time do you Mina people observe Maghrib? At sunset. Around what time does the sun set here? 6 o'clock? 6:04? 6:46? 6:40? 6:40. Okay, you have heard. You have heard now. So once the sun has set, you eat your food, whether the muazzin has called or not. Because qad aftarta. Once the sun has set, then your fast is no more. Whether you eat or not, you are no longer fasting. So you better even eat. He says, my sister wants to make birthday cake for my mother. And she asked me to assist her in making it. Is it permissible for me to assist her? No, it is not. No, it is not. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So if you see somebody that is practicing the Ada of the Yahud and Nasara, do not help them. If you admonish them and they do not listen, leave them alone. But do not participate in their evil culture. This one says, may Allah reward me with good. Ameen, and you too. Can non-Muslims be allowed to sleep on our praying mats? Why not? Why not? A non-Muslim is not physically an impurity, unless he has urine on him. If you saw him urinating and urine is dripping from him, then you cannot allow him into the mosque because you put urine in the mosque. But if he's, you can't see any impurity on him, and then he wants to sleep in the mosque, why not? You allow him to sleep in the mosque. There's nothing wrong with it. His sleeping on the mat will not make the mat impure, unless he urinates on the mat, or he defecates on the mat. In which case, you give him some little bit in before you. Wallahu alam. So anyway, I was joking about the beating. If he did it out of ignorance, you don't beat him. You educate him instead. And then you clean the mat, and then you pray on it. There's no problem with that, inshallah. Allahumma qasim lana min khashiyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Wa min ta'atika ma tuballiguna biha jannatak. Wa min al-yaqini ma tuhawinu bihi alayna musa'ib al-dunya. Wa mati'ana Allahumma bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwatina abadan ma abqaytana. واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.